Hey, welcome to Project Wellness. This is Dominique Liv-Kamal, and I'm coming to you from Australia. Our website is medicineroom.com.au, and health and wellness and joy is what I'm all about. You know what? I just want to ask you a question, our beautiful listeners. How do you actually feel? I mean, like, how do you really feel about yourself and about your life? Do you ever think that what you think is almost changeable? Do you think that what you think could be changed by your own mind? Hey, there's a question, right? Well, today my guest is beautiful, beautiful Bonnie Killip. Now, Bon Bon, as I fondly call her, when she was in high school, worked with us in the medicine room as one of our students. And she's highly accomplished these days. Many, many years have passed by. And she's actually achieved 2 degrees. Her first degree was in basic biosciences. And her second degree was in nutrition and dietetics. And her work is all about helping people and helping people get past their boundaries and their blockages through originally it was through nutritional medicine, and originally it was through her competencies within a science-based model. And then Bon went through an incredible shift. She studied hypnosis, and she spent like a couple of years doing this, and she went through the process herself personally. And now here we are at the other side of that. So, hey, welcome, Bonnie. Can you tell us about yourself?
Hi, welcome. Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, well, I think you've done quite a good introduction for me. So my story was I had anorexia for 15 years of my life, and for 15 years I thought I was in recovery. I was not in recovery. I was sick for 15 years. And through that time as Dom said, got multiple science degrees, so I knew all about health and wellness. I saw multiple psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors, was in and out of hospital, basically saw everyone that was offered under regular healthcare system, and dietitians on top of that. And it wasn't until I had a hospitalisation when I was working in a hospital, when I ended up in that hospital myself with a low heart rate, all sorts of heart problems, low temperature, bradycardia, exceptionally malnourished. And then I eventually got out of that situation and was desperate, out of complete desperation, saw a hypnotherapist. And that's where sort of the new story began. I went along to hypnotherapy for probably around about a year in the end, and finally got better, finally saw changes from the first session onwards. For the first time in my life, I knew that there was a possibility, there was the other side, there was light at the end of the tunnel, as they say, which I'd never seen before and never experienced. And hypnosis gave me the experience of that. And when I went along, like I said, I had such a strong science background that I just didn't believe in hypnosis at all. The other part of it was something called neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, which is getting more common these days, but it's not super well known yet. And I didn't even know what that was when I went and started doing that. Yes. So then I've gone on to study that myself, and I now offer that to other people in recovery from all sorts of things, including eating disorders, because it is still my area of passion, but also people who want to overcome any traumatic experience in their life or are not living from the place that they want to be living from and they know they can live a better life.
Okay, so hypnosis, all right, like, you know, you watch all the old movies from the 1920s, the ones that are silent movies, and I think that, like, you know, some people associate hypnosis with things like, you know, those seances and those Ouija boards, and there's a weirdness about hypnosis. And, you know, like, you look at Harry Houdini, he used to tie himself up in knots and come out of boxes and jump out of castles and bridges and things. And, like, you know, societally, when we look at the hypnosis, like, there's this super almost 1920s weirdness to it. Bon, can you actually tell me what is hypnosis?
Well, the other one is acting like a chicken. I think that's everyone's usual standard of hypnosis is the chicken. So it's actually probably everything that you know about stage hypnosis is the complete opposite. So I just ignore everything about that. For what it's called is clinical hypnotherapy. So it's for a change. It's very unapologetically goal orientated. So you go in with the outcome that you want and you basically do everything to get that outcome. So each session that you go to has a goal, has an intention, has a purpose. You don't go for relaxation. It's not relaxation. It's not meditation. It's not mindfulness. It's going with the intention of talking to what we call the unconscious mind. So we talk about our mind as having sort of two parts, the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. And your unconscious mind is that more probably like ancient part of you that always answers first. It's maybe like your intuition, if you think of it like your intuition. And your conscious mind is this, your conscious mind is this critical sort of judgmental part of you that judges everything that you do, that says, that may hold you back out of fear. It's all those sorts of things like being afraid of public speaking, being afraid of stepping up in front of people, being afraid of not being enough, not being good enough, not being worthy. Yeah, all those sorts of things that hold us back.
Okay, so we've all got this going on. Like, we all feel inadequate in various aspects of our lives. And how does hypnosis actually work? What do you do with someone?
Yeah. So it's basically a trance or a state. So it's a different state of mind. So it's different brain waves in your brain. We have different brain waves. So it's, if you imagine like driving your car. So we learn to drive a car very consciously, and in the beginning it's quite difficult to remember everything that we have to do, and it seems like a lot. But as you then drive your car for years and years, you find that you're just driving to places automatically, so your brain's basically on autopilot and you do those things through habit. And hypnosis is somewhat like that. It's just a different state that we can be in. So we go through hypnosis regularly. It's a normal and natural part of everyday life, because it would be too much for our conscious mind to have to control every single thing that we did. So a lot of it is left up to our unconscious control. So our unconscious control is everything that we just do easily, effortlessly, and naturally. And that's the part of you that hypnosis works with. So it changes those parts of you that happen unconsciously out of your awareness before they happen. So it changes your behaviours, it changes your thinking, and it changes your feelings right from the get-go. So it's not like CBT or cognitive behavioural therapy or any of those therapies that happen after you have the thought that you don't want to have. See, for anyone who's had an eating disorder or had anxiety or had depression, you know that once you have those thoughts and you're in that state, you're having a panic attack or anything like that, it's very hard then to distract yourself or get yourself out of that. With hypnosis, it works before that level. So it changes before you even have that feeling, before you have those thoughts, so that they basically don't occur. It's updating your brain with the new life that you have and with the life that you want to have. So you're living how you want to live, basically.
Okay, so all right. So let's look at addiction and habits and behavioural patterns that anyone would have. So say, for example, I've got a particular behavioural pattern that I do almost unconsciously now, because initially I did it consciously, so I made an effort to create that pattern, and I was doing that maybe as an escape from another pattern that I didn't really want to do, and I created a behaviour. You're suggesting to me that we can change that behaviour, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And rather than going through the big ordeal of consciously trying to change that behavior, because we all know like willpower, determination, grit, and all those things get us so far, but they're not going to lead to like an effortlessly easy, healthy, happy and fulfilling life if you're forever at war with a part of yourself to do this behavior or think this way that is better or healthier or what you want to be doing. Sometimes it can feel like a part of you is sabotaging you. Yeah, it's getting it all to work in line, because when we work in line, like, you can do amazing things, but when even a small part of you is holding you back, it can create internal extreme distress.
Okay, so give me some examples of what kind of things you can help people with.
Yeah, so like I said, it's predominantly, I work with people with eating disorders at the moment, so anorexia and bulimia mostly, binge eating disorder, anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and people who've had traumatic experiences in their childhood. So when we work with the unconscious mind, it's generally goes all the way back to issues between usually the ages of, well, right from when you were born up until the ages of 7. So we say that most of our problems that we have in our adult life are not our problems. They're not anything wrong with you. They're not anything unique to you necessarily even. They're just the way that your brain has adapted as a human brain. So they say we have 3 parts of our brain, and the oldest, most ancient part is the reptilian part, which is just the part that wants to keep us alive, and that's basically it. And then we have our mammal brain, which is a bit more feeling and emotional side of it, and the wanting to sort of work together as a human species. And then we have our latest brain, which is the prefrontal cortex, and that's all about critical judgment and future planning and those sorts of things.
Okay, so this is super interesting. I'm fascinated now. Okay, so anything that happened, like, for me in my life, or anyone else, like, we're all here, like, beautiful listeners, we're on medicineroom.com.au. You're listening to Project Wellness. My name's Dominique Livkamar from Australia, and I'm chatting with Bonnie Killip, who's a scientist who has found her interest in hypnosis and persuasion of the human mind to change our conscious thoughts. And I just want to ask you, Bonbon, while we're here, like, so I was born, I was a small child, and the influences that my parents and the adults around me had on me were fairly profound, because they bring you their ideas and social mores, and we've got our socioeconomic environments and our cultures and all kinds of things that we're dealing with. However, are you telling me that unless I change my mind, I'm just a product of my parents' thoughts?
Yeah, and the society that you grew up in, like, because all those things happen at an unconscious level, so they're there, and our unconscious mind remembers every little thing that's ever happened to us in our entire existence. So our conscious mind can only hold on to 5 plus or minus 2 things at a time, so between, yeah, like 7 and 9 things at a time.
Okay, explain that. Tell me, what is plus or minus 2 to 5 things? Okay, you guys, you want to know this as much as I do, right? Okay, Bon, tell us.
All right, so it's actually 7 plus or minus 2 things. So it's between 5 and 9 things that our conscious mind is capable of holding on to at a time. So if you try and remember a phone number, for example, it's very hard for us to remember just those 10 digits of a mobile phone number off the top of our head, unless we then break them down into sections of 3, which is generally what we do, because our mind can remember that. Whereas our unconscious mind can remember thousands, maybe even millions of things at any one time. And it's all there, and it's all stored, and everything that's happened in our past is all there, and it's all stored. And everything that happens to us now comes through that filter, because it would just overwhelm our conscious mind if all of that straight away came to our awareness. I mean, we wouldn't even be able to get out of bed in the morning. It'd be too much.
Okay, now that's interesting, because, you know, I teach and practice Kundalini yoga. And there's all this stuff about destiny and fate. And, like, this is not a Kundalini yoga thing. Please, audience, don't associate that with that. But, like, there's always this thing where, as if you know your future, you'd be scared and you wouldn't move on. And it's almost like they always say, you know, keep your mind positive so that you can create a positive future and let go of negative thoughts and all that kind of stuff. What are your thoughts on all of that kind of concept of knowing the future and positivity and negativity?
Well, hypnosis and NLP are very non-judgmental, so we wouldn't say bad thoughts or positive thoughts or negative thoughts. It's like a curious nature, so you go in more with like a exploring what's happening, like a what if. Well, what if this happened, or what if that happened, or what if I let this happen, or what if I tried this and this happened? Like, it's just more curious. So it's not like I can't do this, or it has to be this way, or my future has to turn out like this, or I have to think positive. It's not any of those sorts of things of trying to make something happen that's not. It's just, yeah, it's just a curious, explorative. I like that it's like curious. It's like being a child again, learning to not judge yourself, because I think that's what really gets us caught up as adults. We judge so much. Whereas a child, like when you're learning to walk, for example, you fall over and you fall over and you fall over and fall over. And imagine if you just thought, okay, like I've fallen over 10 times. Maybe this walking thing isn't for me. Maybe I'm just not supposed to ever walk. You just don't think that. You go, okay, like other people are doing it. I'll just like keep going. And everyone then learns to walk. Whereas adults, we fail maybe once or twice and we're ready to give up, because then we judge ourselves so harshly for that failure. Yeah.
My listeners know about my surfing experiences, like, and the constant challenges that I go through with that in surfing. And my current challenge, just to let you all know, is that I've been in New Zealand for the last week and I've got a sore ear and I've got a sore throat. But the surf's up in Noosa, so I can't go. But I'm really inspired again because I've got my confidence back. So, you know, I'm super excited about that. But I get that. What you're saying, Bon, with that, because it's really, really important for us as individuals to keep getting up again. Because as time and time again, and my listeners know this on Project Wellness, we talk about resilience and capacity. And what do you have to say about that?
I think resilience was something I never understood, because I was definitely a perfectionist mindset. I thought you had to be fantastic at everything straight away, and there was no room for error and there was no room for growth. It was either you had it or you didn't. I didn't understand that you could build things, and that it was okay to fail, really, until I learned to be curious with myself rather than judgmental. And a really good quote that I remember reading by Richard Bandler, one of the men who created NLP in the 70s, was, "There's no such thing as failure, only feedback," which was really quite liberating. But it's more liberating when you can then live that rather than listen to that or think, oh yeah, that's a nice idea and I should remember that and I'll give that a go. But then when you get to the situation and you're so overwhelmed and distressed that all those sorts of lovely quotes and nice ideas go out the window. So hypnotherapy is getting it before you even get to that stage. And then if you do eventually get to that stage, because maybe like terrible things do still happen in all of our lives, it's then releasing that and letting that go rather than holding on to that and going, oh, this has happened, so this is the way it's going to be in the future. Because in reality, we all judge our future off our past, but our past has little to do with what we're capable of in the future. It really doesn't have this connection that we think it does. So yeah, hypnosis and NLP is all about letting go of your past to sort of make peace with the present and then have the future that you want.
Oh my goodness, that's super interesting, because, you know, like here I am, this little girl between the age of 0 and 7, and I'm listening to everything my mum and dad are telling me, because you know what, that's like the god and the goddess of the world around me. As much as I love my mum and dad, I had to learn to almost, I don't want to say use the word reject, but I want to use, like, there has to be a separation point between children and their parent where the child is no longer dependent on the parent and the child is able to use our individuality to create our future. Now, if you grow up in the world's most enlightened household and your parents tell you from birth, hey, little Johnny, be your own individual self and you just do what you want in your life and we 100% support you in that process, then all I can say to you is you're super blessed. But most of us grow up in a society where we're told by our parents that we have to perform in a particular way, we have to achieve particular things, and we need to fulfill that achievement to be whole. And if we break away from that, like we're the black sheep in the family, or we're the scapegoat, or we're rejected, or we're sent away, or we're in some way feeling inadequate. And when you look at, like, even sexuality socially today, and you look at people in the transgender, lesbian, gay communities, and people who are going through a lot of those sexual changes, they find it incredibly difficult to communicate with their families about how they're feeling. And I think that, like, when you even look at socially with gender roles, like you look at women who choose to take on CEO roles in companies, which is pretty common today, but in some societies it's not, and it's a huge thing. And then, like, even women in some parts of the world today, I'm very sad to say, like education is something that they're frowned upon because they're educated, and literacy is something that women are frowned upon, or whatever, whatever. Bon, what do you say to people when they want to break a mold? Whatever that mold might be, it doesn't matter what it is. How do you say that that's done best?
Yeah, so first of all, like, I just want to say, like, you don't have to have had a traumatic childhood at all to have any issues carrying over from that, or any limitations on your current life. Like, no matter what, we all kind of have those mummy and daddy issues that happened when we were younger. No matter how perfect our childhood was, it impacts on us. When you're 0 to 7 years old, everything that you have, everything that you experience, everything that you do is basically a first time. And that becomes your standpoint and your gauge for everything else that happens in your life after that. And you compare everything to that. And like I said, it's not a conscious comparison, it's unconscious comparison. So what was the actual question?
Okay, I wanted to know how people would break through boundaries, but I'm actually going to change that right now. So what's the difference between a conscious comparison and an unconscious comparison?
So unconscious comparison happens without you even knowing. Like I said, your conscious mind can hold on to 5 ± 2 things at any one time. So it has its mind full, basically, to capacity all of the time because we're doing so many things a day. The unconscious mind, it happens just naturally without you realizing. So you're making these comparisons and these judgments without even knowing it. So it's like intuition. You basically get an idea about someone. You know, we do judge people naturally by their body language and by what they sort of, how they present to us. Mm. And we do that at an unconscious level. Like, we don't go, okay, they move their hands like this way and they look to this direction with their eyes and therefore it means this. We don't think like that. It just happens, like, naturally. Mm. We go, okay, like, our unconscious mind might recognize that their eyes are looking shady and we think maybe they're telling a lie or something, but that never comes to our conscious awareness. It's under that. It's at our unconscious level that we make these judgments.
Okay, so what I was actually asking you is, like, how do you break through the boundaries of conformity? You know, how do you say no when you've got ever how many generations before you saying yes?
Yeah. So this is what I find really fascinating about NLP and hypnotherapy is it's very much client-centered. It's very much the individual. So it's what the individual needs and what the individual wants is the outcome and the goals. So to break through all of those barriers would be unique to each person, but with hypnotherapy and NLP there is techniques that you use, but they would be very adapted to the individual situation.
This is absolutely fascinating. medicineroom.com.au. My name's Dominique Liv-Kamal and I'm talking with Bonnie Killip. And your website, Bonnie, is
www.fuelingsuccess.com.
Fuelingsuccess.com. Bon is a like, as I said before, I love Bon so much. She was one of my students when she was in high school and Then she did 2 degrees, the degree in science and then the degree in nutritional medicine. She's a dietitian and she's practicing in Australia here on the Sunshine Coast. But the really cool thing about Bon is that she's actually broken out and she's gone into all the weird stuff, which I just love, because she's following the true path of medicine now, because she's really looking into it. And you mentioned before that your main area with nutritional medicine and with helping people was to do with eating disorders. Can you go a little bit more into that for us?
Yeah, so this is what I found through my personal experience and also the people that I work with now as clients, is with an eating disorder, so we can have, again, those things that might have triggered it in the beginning. Maybe you went on a diet for weight loss, or maybe you had your wisdom teeth out and you couldn't eat enough calories, or maybe you were just growing and you didn't have enough food, but there can be whatever triggered it in the beginning. And people sort of think that then that is the disease. But once it's gotten past that stage and it's become, it actually, yeah, it becomes pathological, and you can't consciously get yourself out of that, no matter how much education you have, no matter how fantastic your environment and how fantastic your food knowledge or anything like that, because all of those processes then become at the unconscious level. You know you're doing things that you don't want to be doing, but you can't change it because it happens before it's in your awareness. And by the time it's in your conscious awareness, it's too much of an overwhelming thing to then try and change. So hypnotherapy and NLP work at the unconscious level to get those changes happening, so you don't have to be at war with yourself or fighting with yourself to do it.
You know, this happens with a lot of people who work in cities and who work in offices, and there's a thing called oxidative stress that kicks in with, that creates eating disorders on another level, which is when people are, you know, eating too much, they're drinking too much coffee, they're having too much fatty acids, their carbohydrates are high. What would you say to somebody, like, I know this is at the other end of the spectrum, yeah, to what you're normally working with, but a lot of our audience globally are in very intense city environments with oxidative stress. What would you say to these guys about any hypnotherapy or dietary issues?
Yeah, so I know, like, it goes, there is the weight of one extreme or the other. But they all at the core sort of have, yeah, core things in common. So they're not that different as what people think. Like, they present in different ways, but they're quite similar. So for people who are then, I would say, find out the reason. It's really about finding out the reason that you're doing something that you don't want to be doing, or a part of you that doesn't want to be doing, or a part of you knows better. There's always an underlying reason, and this reason, again, doesn't have to be conscious, and you might think it's conscious, you might think it's for this reason or that reason, but yeah, as I said, quite often it will go all the way back to your childhood, which is where we do timeline regression and, yeah, all sorts of processes to get back to that first core issue is what we always aim for, because we can have so many experiences after that, but unless you get, like, to the root of it, doesn't necessarily change it. And then also the other thing is, when these things become such a part of your life, such an integral part of your life that you really impacts every area of your life, you can't just remove that and have nothing there to replace it. Otherwise you just have this giant void, and you're probably going to replace it with something equally damaging.
Okay, so that's addiction. And, like, I know that a lot of people have triggers as adults, like we have triggers that happen in elderly parts of our life as well. It's not necessarily when we're young. It's not between the 0 and 7. It's like the time when you're 45 and your father dies, bang, and something happens and you secrete a lot of cortisol and adrenaline and you're in a stress situation and you end up eating too much. Or another situation might be that you've got a pressure where you might lose your job. And, like, there's just so much there, and so you start eating a lot of carbohydrates and fatty foods, or drinking a lot of alcohol, or you might go and visit the doctor and you're given pharmaceutical drugs that are really, in my mind, in my dumb mind, unsuitable. I don't believe in that. But I also know that it's also like, what I'm trying to say is, on the escape shoots of life, right? You know, like, we're older, we're getting older, we're an aging population. life affects us, like we have economic crisis, we have job situations change, we might go through a divorce, we might have, you know, it might even be something as simple as you have a baby and you feel more pressure in your life. Like, what do you do in your mind in times of those crises of life?
I think find out, like, the underlying reason or the underlying intent of those things that you're doing that you don't want to be doing. To, if you're feeling an uncomfortable feeling, for example, and you're trying to compensate for that by eating or drinking, you try and sort of find what need you're meeting through that food, and generally it is some sort of comfort, some sort of need for safety.
Yeah, nurturing.
Yeah, nurturing, because food is something that gives us immediate pleasure. We're wired that way, like it's biological. It's not anything strange or unusual is what people sort of go, oh, I'm crazy, like I can't stop eating, I'm binging, and all those sorts of words we start using and judging ourselves, whereas it's just it's literally a human brain. Part of our brain is mammal, it's what you do. And in high stress situations, like Dom said, you do secrete more higher levels of cortisol and all those stress hormones, which can ramp up your metabolism and you want more food, like, and you feel more stressed and it drives hunger and it drives just to the need to fill that void.
Okay, so what's your best advice on filling the void without the addiction?
Yeah, try NLP and hypnotherapy, because it will work with your unconscious mind rather than your conscious mind, because we all know what we want to be doing, more or less. We have a pretty good idea, or that information that you need is readily available to you and you can get that. But until you sort of meet that underlying need of the unconscious mind in a healthier way, it's not going to stick, because you can do it for a little while, but willpower and determination and grit always run out. And you don't want your health to be a full-time job, because it's not a full-time job. It should just come naturally. It really should.
So, like, you know, here we are. There's people driving your cars. If you're driving your car right now, I want you to keep driving your car and listening to our podcast. However, I just want to say I'm going to ask Bon just to, like, give us some idea of what would happen in the process of this, of hypnotherapy and NLP. How do you take someone through the process? How safe is it? And what happens in that process?
Yeah, so it's completely safe and it's not any sort of mind control or any of those things. Out of all the therapy, I would say it's the most client-driven. It's really realistic. It's a complete opposite of what people think, because I even thought it was mind control. But as I said, out of all the things that I've done, it was the most came from me. Like, I learned myself, I learned who I was, I learned my own self-identity and my own inner guidance and authority, rather than someone else telling me what was best for me. So a basic outline of a session would be, we'd start with whatever issue the client wanted to address in that session, say for example anxiety, and we would look at how they felt, how they wanted to feel, and all the states around that and all the things involved in that. And then we would I would explain probably the unconscious and conscious mind and what we can do, and depending on the client we would then do hypnotherapy. So we do an induction into hypnosis where you basically go deeper and deeper into your unconscious mind, become really aware of your internal processes and what's going on internally for you, and less aware of the outside world and less aware of your conscious mind judging things. And then we would do some sort of change work. So there's lots of different ways we'd go about change work. It can be, as I said before, timeline work where you go back into your past, or sort of dealing with self-sabotaging behavior, so getting all of your parts to work together. And like I said, it talks to the unconscious mind, so I would generally use the client's name so that I'm not even talking to them necessarily anymore, I'm talking to the unconscious mind. And we would maybe set up what's called ideomotor signals, so that then they can give me a yes or no with their body language, their body movements, without their conscious awareness coming in and judging it. Because once our conscious mind comes in and judges it, then it's very much a, yeah, it becomes less useful because, as I said, we all know consciously what we want to be doing. But if that was going to work for us, it would have worked by now. Yeah.
Okay, so when you talk about going into the unconscious mind, like I know in the Patanjali Yogic Sutras that my listeners know I have studied and I love all that stuff. You know, I love lots of stuff, but that's one of the things I love. And I love the minds like Manas, the conscious mind, and then we're looking at Ahanka, the ego, and then we're looking at the unconscious mind and the subconscious mind. And you know what? It's frightening for some people. Like,
yeah.
if you said to me, oh, Dom, just sit back and count to 10, like, isn't hypnosis like this, you know, like when I think about the Harry Houdini thing, and I just want to go back to that because, like, in my mind, when I look at the whole thing about hypnosis, there's an association with it that is almost scary in the way that, like, me as a patient, I'm out of control. Am I out of control as a patient or am I in control, Bon? Like, is it safe for someone to practice hypnosis? Tell me about this.
Yeah, so it's completely safe. You're in complete control, really. There's nothing that a hypnotherapist could say to you that you would take on board if you didn't want to. You still have all those filters and you still have the ability to discard anything that they say at any time. So it's just about giving you suggestions that you've given the therapist at the beginning of the session. It's getting what you want. It's not what the therapist wants. And if they ever suggest anything that you don't want or you don't want to do or doesn't agree with any part of you, it's going to be discarded. So it's completely safe.
Okay. So for you, like you've studied this, you've spent a lot of money on this, you're a basic scientist. Your background is 2 degrees in science, which is evidence-based, peer-reviewed, cited by whoever. Did you go through a process yourself with hypnosis to understand this before you could work with clients?
To the training?
Your own self, yeah.
As a client or as a training?
As a client. Have you been a client?
Yeah, yes. So I was a client. I was a client for around about a year, as I said, for anorexia. I had anorexia for 15 years. So I went through the whole process. And because I was not too long discharged out of hospital for before I started the process of hypnosis, there's not a lot of it that I remember in the beginning, to be honest. I know that it was very painful and it did make me sick. I would get really dizzy and sweaty because it does literally rewire your brain. So it does change the neurons within your brain and the connections. So it can be painful for some people depending on what you're working on and depending on like the level that your brain has sort of rewired around that issue. And because the eating disorder that I had was such a big part of my life and the way that my brain then worked and my complete identity was linked into it, it did take some actual physical changes to the structure of your brain.
This is absolutely fascinating. My name's Dominique Liv-Kamal and I just want to thank you today for listening to us on Project Wellness. You'll find us on iTunes, you'll find us on Spotify and Podbean. Our website is medicineroom.com.au and I've got some exciting news. If you want to hook into our other website, livkamal.com, you'll see our new projects coming up in beauty, health and wellness. Today I'm super excited because I've been speaking with someone who's very dear to my own heart, Miss Bonnie Killip, whose website is fuelingsuccess.com. Check in with Bon. If you're in Australia, you can make an appointment to see her on the Sunshine Coast, Brisbane, or the Northern Rivers of New South Wales. And I can also make a Skype consult to talk with Bon as well on fuelingsuccess.com. Thank you, Bonnie, for joining us today. And I just hope you guys have a super awesome day. Thank you listening to Project Wellness. You know that I'm all about wellness and joy. This was episode 9. I look forward to many more. Blessings, light and love. Dominique Liv-Kamal.